You're listening to a resource from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to promote excellence in biblical counseling. For more resources or to find out more information about ACBC, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.
All right, just making sure our sound system's on and making sure you're on. It's a little bit before 9 o'clock now. I just thought I'd check and make sure this was going good, and you guys are, we can talk a few minutes before we actually officially start, so if people walk in, they won't feel bad. So how many here, oh, you already raised your hand, no, that's not good, we're starting off wrong already. How many here? Yeah, that's great. All right, how many here ever used what's called a party line? Yes, all right, well done, okay. So I guess it's one of these games. We should have had you stand up and then keep sitting down if you didn't. Okay. So all that group knows the party line. So quite a few of you did not raise your hand. You're thinking a party line is something that you have a string in a party, right? It was a phone that you would have from house to house, and what about 8-10 families' houses would be on the same line, and you were ring ring or ring 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 or ring 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 ring, and you'd know your rings, and that's when you would pick up. And if you're not careful, somebody might pick up and listen to you. So you had to be really careful. Okay, so that's party line. How many of you know what a landline is or had a landline? Yeah, okay. Oh, okay. How many of you still have a landline? Nice, okay. Yeah, good. We had one just till a couple years ago, and then we moved our landline number to my wife's cell phone number. And so we get those nice telemarketing calls to the landline. And so she ignores those. All right, I think we went from the landline to a pager. How many of you had a pager? You have not yet raised your hand, have you? This young lady right here, she's not raised her hand. That's awesome. So a pager was that little device that would be on your hip or your purse or your pocket. And if somebody wanted to reach you right away, they would buzz you. It would ring, and then you'd see the number you're supposed to call back. All right? So that was the pager. Then it went to, I guess I could say, the cell phone or the flip phone. I'm not sure if you say one is the same as the other. Okay, you're starting to nod your head now. Okay, yeah. We got our millennials in here, good. Okay, so how many of you now had at least a flip phone or cell phone? Yes, okay. Has anybody not raised their hand yet? Yes, okay. So let me get you now. How many of you have a smartphone? Yes, okay, we finally got one. All right, so isn't it interesting when you think about technology that it really has advanced and developed over a long period of time? And as we could note in here, humorously and actually intentionally, it's moved quite rapidly. I mean, some of us in here, some of you in here had the party line, and you probably right now have a smartphone, and you've gone through all those gradations. So of course we know that when you have technology, you have the opportunity to keep advancing. And so who knows what your, this front row only smartphone guy, who knows what your 30 years from now ACBC conference will be when you talk about technology. You might be flying in on hoverboards, and who knows what all you're gonna be coming in on. So that was kind of a fun get together, get started. As you probably know, I'm John Lehman. My wife and I, Susie, have been married 38 years, and we've seen all those, not necessarily in a married state, having a party line, but we did have the landline, and we came all the way through. So we've all kind of grown together and learned together as well. Allow me to pray, and then we'll continue on with this session. Father, I thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love. It permeates, it includes, it motivates, and I pray that that would be what we not just leave this conference with and go home and have a few days of that rallying process, but Lord, it would just continue to help us as we help others. Be with each individual here today. There are undoubtedly heavy burdens that many carry. They're carrying them for people they're counseling. They're carrying them for their own family members. They're carrying them for folks even that they've met here in this conference. And I ask you to quiet and comfort, and as you only can do, may you give them peace that passes all understanding, and we'll thank you for that. Now I pray as we look into something that at times can be both frustrating and exciting, that we would just consider how we can best use these tools that you've allowed people to develop and implement into our lives for your glory. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, so good to see you. There is definitely room for everybody, but you might have to step over somebody or ask someone to slide over. So as this title shares, kind of got this illustration from thinking of farming or thinking of breaking a horse. And, you know, you think about that, and you think of a tamed stallion that someone has broken, their will, not their spirit, but broken, has broken that stallion, and that beast is very valuable, can be used to sire more horses, can be used to round up horses, can be used to race, can just be very valuable, can just, anything can be done through that tamed beast. But if you don't tame that stallion, if you don't have any control over him, he has all the control over you. You try to put a bit in his mouth and he runs, or he does anything to get away from you, and he has control over you. You don't have control over him. And therefore, I use that as, if we're not careful, that's what our, I don't know if our party lines ever quite did that, but our cell phones, smartphones today can do is, and we'll see that as we get into our discussion today. You do have notes, not implying you have to look at them or take notes on them, but you do have notes in the app for this session. My discussion, the PowerPoint, will not necessarily duplicate the notes. Hopefully they'll enhance them, and therefore I would just encourage you, if you wanted to try to follow, great. If you just want to sit and listen, that's great. You know, this is not school. This is an opportunity just to grow and develop. But much of this, just so it helps me stay on task and also helps you as you follow, let me kind of read and explain and keep on going. So first of all, what frightens you the most about technology? And you can just kind of shout it out and I'll try to hear you. So what frightens you the most about technology? Security, okay, excellent. Yeah, that definitely is a frightening thing. What's another frightening thing with privacy, okay, you got security, you got privacy.
Pornographic enslavement.
Yep, pornographic enslavement.
Accessibility.
Someone say unknown.
Not,
yeah, yeah, that's true. An addiction, not knowing what to be afraid of, an addiction. Good, predators then are going to kind of come in and try to figure out what you're doing, or they're going to kind of steal some of your security. Yes, sir. That is so true. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Back in the day of the party line, you could get a hold of everything, but not now. That's right. That's right. Okay, so some very good answers, some things that we're scared of, frightened of. Now, oops, I went too far. Sorry. What excites you the most about technology?
Productivity.
Okay, good. Productivity, second thing you said? Productivity can increase. Yep, that's right. Yeah, much more convenient. Yes, resource availability. Yes, sir.
Connection.
All right, very good. So it's interesting, some of the things that we were concerned about, that frighten us, can actually be turned around the other way, and we're really excited about. Google, yeah. That's right. Very good, very good. It's available. So with that in mind, let's now kind of consider society's interests and advancements in knowledge and application. The internet, electronic media has given us both usefulness and slavery. So when I first started working on this, the question I was posing and trying to work through was, what are parents to do about teaching their children about this important topic? And once I began to study this, I started realizing, at the end I'll show you a big process you can use for your children, but I think it'd be wise for all of us to consider, what are we doing with technology? Are we slaves to it, or are we using it as usefulness? So this session is going to focus mainly on these opportunities and perils that lie in digital technology and why we must tame this before it enslaves us. So looking at the big picture, it is absolutely possible to love and use all kinds of technology, but then it's also very possible to make radical choices to prevent technology from taking over. You know, we're controlling that.
But before anyone can master anything, as we all know, we need to use expectations and consider what they are and then how we can implement them. And I know this is a counseling conference, and I know one of the things that I seek to do as a counselor, when someone walks in, before we even get too far into the session, is to say, what are your expectations of coming here to see me? And that really helps us as we begin to progress into what their issues are and then what homework will help them to overcome. So with that in mind, I'd like to look at several specific areas and that we need. Too quick on the draw here. First of all, our character. When we think about technology, our character is in question. Some of you have said it could be for pornographic material. Some said it could be to search and gain great wisdom, understanding, research. So our character, what do we do? The mission of our family is to cultivate wisdom and courage. I love Psalm 90:10. It says, the days of our lives are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. We fly away as in we will pass away. We will be with Jesus. Our families, and therefore us as individuals, we're to help shape members to first love God and love others, to have wisdom and to have courage, to do what we must do to bring glory to God. We must understand that our place in the world and faithful way to proceed needs to have conviction and character to do that which is right. We all in here have the opportunity to do the stupidest, most carnal things with our phones. We in here have the opportunity to do the smartest and most spiritual things with our phones. And so guess who is responsible? We no longer have, well, Dad said or Mom said, unless you want to say Abba said, and that's our Father, and we want to make sure it's right. So technology, although brilliant, is at best neutral in forming human beings who can create and cultivate as we're meant to. It is a neutral device. It is not a bad thing. That horse is not bad. It's if we choose not to tame it, choose not to break it, choose not to make it so we can literally use him for what is best for us. So two questions here. Will our technological advancement help us become less foolish and wiser? I think that's something to always consider. I'm using this phone. Is this helping me to be wiser? Or am I really being foolish by which rabbit hole I'm going into, which dark hole I'm going into? Or will it help us become less fearful and more courageous to do that which God would have us to do? God in Genesis told Adam to be fruitful and multiply. And that would be the develop the social world. Be fruitful and multiply. Have family, children, heritage. But then he says, and also, from the very beginning of time, he says, and to subdue the earth, literally to harness the natural world. Now, back when Adam was created, only God knew that technology was going to advance. I mean, I don't even think they knew what technology was at that stage. They didn't need to. But technology is part of the natural world now. Someone way smarter than me learned, developed, invented, and implemented the technology that we're using today. That's the natural world. Someone did that. And that brain was created by God. It was developed by man, you could say, as far as wisdom and application, but God is who created that. And so we as humans are to be here to be fruitful and multiply. Our social world, yes, but our technological, let's subdue the earth, harness the natural world, and be careful with our devices. Next, within the kind of the context here moving through, we must shape space or it will shape us. We must make choices about the place where we live, where we work, how we develop character, and how we are creative. That typically is one of the neatest opportunities we all have. Even in counseling, I've shared with those who I'm working with. I think one of the neatest, greatest, biggest blessings we all have is we have the choice to love God and serve God, or we have the choice to disobey God and flee from him. We have that choice. He does not want to buy us. He doesn't want to make us. Of course, God works in our heart, and a lot of these exact statements we're going to find out someday in eternity, and you'll have a long time to ask some questions. But for right now, God gives us this opportunity to make choices about what we do. God's gifted us. He's presented us with talents and personalities and experiences. And it's our opportunity to direct those into using them for His glory. So we must make sure that the space we live in, the space that we're part of, that we are using it for creativity, skill, beauty, risk, all bringing glory to God. So the use of technology is not only thoughtful, but it is informed by the Bible. I think that's so cool. It doesn't have a place in there that says, this is exactly how many rams and how, well, I guess rams, it is brought up in the scripture, isn't it? Thank you. Wow. Well, I didn't think about that. But but everything about technology is informed by the Bible, how we use it. But it's there only if we understand God's purpose for technology. And so, of course, what we have is to bring glory to Him. And so whether you're specifically thinking of a handheld scissors or shovel, or all the way to some of these huge earth movers, all the way into that small little device that's in your pocket, all of that can bring glory to God. So we must use this technology as an understanding of God's purpose. We want to make sure we follow through with that. So what helps us in beginning this journey? Well, structuring time really takes time to structure, doesn't it? It's easy to wake up on a Saturday morning or wake up on a vacation day and you think, wow, I've got 8, 10, 12 hours at my disposal. You get to the end of the day and you're like, what did I do? You did something for 12 hours. And I'm not saying that relaxation and all that is wrong, but the plan for those 12 hours could have been so totally different had you started 3 days ago, written down, okay, let's from 8 to 9 do this, and 9 to 10 do this, and then from 10 to 12, we'll do nothing. And then from 12 to 1, we'll do this, etc. However you operate is just wonderful. But the main thought there is, let this structure build rhythms into our lives. We glorify God much better if we're on a structure. I've heard many people say that the worst time for their spiritual development, their spiritual sustenance is on vacation. Because, man, when it's work day, I get up at this time, I read my Bible at this time, I go to this place, I return, and then all of a sudden vacation, and I haven't built that in. And I'm not knocking vacation. That's not my point. My point is, if we don't structure our time kind of just takes over. We're supposed to work, and we're supposed to rest. God gave us that within His whole context of creation. He created, and it was good. He rested, and it was good. And we must do that. So work is the fruitful transformation of the world through human effort and skill in ways that serve our shared human needs and give glory to God. Well, if that's the case, then we must embrace technology enthusiastically and unthinkingly. No. We must completely separate from it. No. I believe we must have disciplined discernment. If God allowed someone to create it, then I believe it's our responsibility to control that, tame that, so to speak, if I were to use those terms. So, mindfully, we think, wow, that's the latest, greatest. Let's just go ahead and get the newest, and the newest, and the newest. And if we're not careful, we forget about, I think one of you down here said, then we're scared of what's left, what's going to happen after we do that. Well, so if I'm so scared, then I'm just going to leave. I'm not going to ever own a cell phone, never going to have a TV, never going to have a radio, never going to... Well, that's kind of putting your head in the sand, and our world needs us to know many details. So let's consider having disciplined discernment. God, of course, has told us, when we think about 6 days you're to labor, and the seventh day is the Sabbath day for the Lord. You shall not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your town. That's from Exodus. Even in Exodus 23, it talks about every 7 years, there's a year of Sabbath. There's a rest that is supposed to be taking place for the land. So therefore, I would encourage us to consider also, we must rest from our devices. We must be mindful of them. One thing that sums up the difference between humans and technological devices is sleep. You notice that your email keeps flying throughout the night while you're sleeping. Those towers for cell phones are still, well, most of the time they are, unless there's a storm, are going through the night, and so everything's going, but our bodies need rest. And sometimes we really need to keep ourselves from our devices so that we can get that rest. We are meant to be still, quiet, unconscious, and vulnerable for roughly one-third of every day. It's, of course, recommended that we get sleep or rest approximately 8 hours a day. Well, 24 divided by 8 gives you 3. That's about a third. And so we're to be mindful of that. Our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength are all nurtured through sleep. And so, if we're not careful, we can allow electronic blue light, which is what's generating from our cell phones, and can keep us into thinking it's daylight. Now, I'm not saying because your phone's beside your bed, although I have something to say about that at the end, you can turn it off. But at the same time, if we're so tethered to it, sometimes we might just really be harming ourselves. Just like we did as parents, or as grandparents, or as just having an infant, or babysitting for someone, just like putting the children to bed, I think phones and electronic devices need to be put to bed as well, need to be put to rest. Sleep specialists, so of course, as I often say, it's who you choose to believe that's the case. So I'm reading something that I'm going to choose to believe, but I'd like to at least share it. They say that bedrooms should only be reserved for one thing, and that's sleep. I'm sure there's other things a bedroom's good for too, but I would just leave it at that. We want to get... But mindful of just talking about technology now, that it's specific that God wants us to rest and not have something to keep us away from there. Put electronic devices in a separate room only to be checked when you're ready for your next day. So this kind of adds this to this statement. Digital living offers particular challenges, and digital living offers particularly opportunities. Which one are we going to always land in? I think we need to be mindful of that. I would hate for you to have a cell phone or an iPad, and every time you have it, oh, I hope I'm not sinning. Oh, I hope I'm not disappointing God. I hope I'm... That would wear on you. You want to say, I'm thankful to have this. I'm really privileged to be able to think, and like several of you said, to Google, to be able to figure out, to be able to study, to be able to prepare. And that really helps you in that specific regard. At the same time, it is a challenge, and we want to be mindful of that. So then... We must, in our working world, we must learn to work, and we need to work to learn. Even at an early age, we learn best when learning takes work. You know, it doesn't work for mom or dad to just keep talking through your assignments, and then you're going to leave and you're going to have it all in your head. I think one of the best things that parents can do, and I had this from my parents, and therefore I sought to implement it into our children, is you have a rough homework assignment. I'm really glad. Work at that. Strive for that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as a result, you're going to see how that really helps them develop in their own character. Screen entertainment literally takes no work. And if we're not careful, this side of the podium and that side of the podium, I'll just turn that, put it onto some screen and I can just watch something. Parents often give their children screens, not to make children's life easier, but to make the parents' life easier. And I would really encourage us to be mindful of that. I think you can make it very productive, but you can also make it very destructive. At times, eliminate passive screen time. Only productivity learning should be encouraged there. And so when we think about that, if we're not mindful, we are increasingly distracted. We're pulled from one task to another and from one media to the next. And part of this whole encouragement for this seminar is just to help us to think about, what am I letting my device do to me? What am I helping my device do for me? And let's not get mindless about it. Let's be mindful, focused, controlling that stallion as I used there. And then we get to boredom. Let's see, whoops, there we go. I love that picture. It's so funny. Is boredom really bad? Well, the quest to cure boredom with screen time actually accentuates the boredom. I don't have anything to do, so I'll just flip on my phone or turn on the TV or whatever it is that just lets me even be more mindless and doesn't let us be productive. I love this statement. I have to give credit to someone who wrote this. Having nothing to do is not boredom. Consider it intentional rest. Then produce something. And yet I think sometimes producing a nap is a good thing. Producing, freeing yourself from what you've been doing is a good thing. But be productive. Notice, if we're not careful, just kind of take the next little bit of time, if we're not careful, where we turn when we don't feel like doing anything. Is it this book I've been reading? Is this this Bible reading that I failed to get done yesterday? Oh, I'll just look at my device. And I'm not saying you just get to figure that out yourself, what we're doing with our downtime. Technology has developed people who desperately need outside entertainment and distraction, and therefore, unfortunately, they don't find anything to engage themselves in, so then they just go back to their phone. I heard this statement about football, and this is what came to my mind when I read that. You know, a football stadium, football, the definition is 80,000 people watching 24 men, okay, wait, I'm sorry, 80,000 people who desperately need exercise watching 24 men who desperately need rest. And sometimes I think about that in technology, you know. I really need rest, but I just keep my mind going by looking at something, and I think I'm resting, and I'm really not. So the electronic device that we own is not wrong in and of itself. Droid, iPhone, AT&T, whatever it is you have, that's not the wrong thing. But it is prone to draw our hearts away from God while being distracted. And so I would encourage you, challenge you. I shared this with my wife, and I've shared this with several others. You know, often when you present something, you learn something yourself, and I have been so convicted on my own cell phone usage, on my own electronic data, that it kind of changed the bent of this, although all this information is still all the same. Let's not let our hearts get drawn away from God. Let's find things that draw our hearts to Him. When you spend time with people, only spend time with people. Make sure that we're not letting that come into our life. So, a few statements here. Conversation, stated, takes 7 minutes to initiate and become engaged in. So, nothing wrong with having walked by 1,300 people this morning and saying, hi, how are you? I'm fine. You didn't take 7 minutes, though. So, how much do you know about them? You know they're fine. No, you only know they said they're fine. And so within the context of conversation, and I'll say something about this a little bit later too, let those conversations begin and continue. Don't let this device interrupt that. I know I've done it. Where, just a minute, I got to take this call. I'll be right back with you. And by the time I'm back, what were we talking about? I don't know. They don't know. Well, shame on me. I'm the one that interrupted that. And so let that conversation continue. Too often, in less than that 7 minutes, someone's phone will need attention. Now, what did we do when we were rearing our children, or when we were being reared, or when we've seen other parents rear children? The child's at mom's, mommy, mommy, just a minute, I'm speaking to daddy. Just a minute, I need to answer this phone call. You didn't do that with your children. Just a minute, I need to talk to this child. No, finish the conversation, and then I'll talk to you. Anyway, you get my point, and I'm the one that's the most convicted here. Notice what you do when you have downtime. If not careful, you'll first look at your phone. So relationships, let's think about this. Technology is a God-given gift. Remember, we talked about subduing the natural world. Therefore, technology is subject to the curse. It can and will lead us to do something that is not appropriate. And therefore, it's the human application of technology that determines if it is honoring God or furthering sin. So we're the one with the whip. We're the one with the bridle. We're the one with the saddle. We're the one with the harness. This technology is not the wrong. It's the one who's applying that. So I would encourage you to really be mindful and keep up with technology. It's the God-given gift. Yes, it's subject to a curse, and then, of course, how we apply it is what helps us to honor or to distract ourselves from God. Total access into a phone means totally accessible. Some of you have made that comment. At our fingertips is the most dangerous weapon we have. It's instant access to sin. At our fingertips is the most awesome instrument around, instant access to truth. What was that verse again? Click, 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 boom, you have it. Back in my day, you'd take out your Bible, you'd go to the concordance. Now, what was that word? You'd look for a search word. It wasn't there. You have to find another search word. By that time, what was I looking up? You forgot what you were doing. Now you just type in dot, 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 and usually you have more than one verse that you see. Instant access to truth. John Piper, who we all know of one name that we can respect and can appreciate, and his great lecture, and he's like, one of the greatest things that ever happened in my life was technology. He uses it, he harnesses it, and of course, we all have been benefited by that. But again, it's who harnesses that. Make sure, I would encourage all of us in here, make sure we always have someone who can look at our device for accountability. Even if no one ever does, it'd be awesome to just know without a shadow of a doubt, when I pass away, someone's gonna pick up my phone, here's my code, and I wonder what Dad used to look at. Wow, he liked to know what the Eagles scores were. Or he liked to know what, latest cost of was something on Amazon. Just think about what that phone is gonna speak about you. Make sure you have a good filtering system on your devices. And we're not here necessarily to talk all the way through that, but if we're gonna have our devices controlled, it is amazing. Someone out there is trying to hack into you, devil and others, trying to hack into your system so that you look at something that would possibly mislead you. In fact, just last night I was reading one of the books that's in the bookstore. I think it was the title. It's two similar books, Sins That Men Overlook and Sins That Women Overlook, that's not the right title, but anyway, you might remember that title. Anyway, I was reading it, just talked about this one time, one individual sees something they shouldn't have seen. Oh, it's not that bad, it's not that bad. And all of a sudden, this person has sinned and done wrong. Just like that. And our phones can crazily do the same thing. So we must neither demolish or run away from technology. We must restrain it and redeem it. So if we're going to restrain and redeem, I love using that idea. Anything we have can be used for God's glory. At the same time, anything we have can be used to God's detriment. We can harm, we can hurt, we can bring the name of Christ down. So let's restrain and redeem what we have. That kind of brings us up now. Much of this next discussion will go even more pointedly to the phone. Smartphones need smart people to use them. And I'd like to, just a few things here. So did you know that you check your phone about 80, if you're in the average, you check your phone about 81,500 times each year. Divide that by 365. So that means you check your phone every 4.3 minutes of your waking life. That means that you have been tempted to check your phone at least 6 times up to now, and you'll be tempted to check it 6 more times before we leave. And I'm not going to get on to if you look down at your phone. That's not my point. Our lives are consolidated on our phones. I mean, it's a valuable tool. What do you do on April the 12th of next year? Boom. In no time, you can find it. Whereas I do still carry a day timer. In my life, I'd have to go, now, where's that April calendar? And I got to turn it and find what April the 6th says, and I can tell you what's going on April the 6th. We have calendars, we have cameras, we have pictures, we have work, we have workouts, we have reading, we have writing, we have credit cards, we have e-books, we have maps, we have news, we have weather, we have email, our shopping lists, all encompassed in that. It's wonderful. It's frightening. It's all part of that. This statement, of course, I researched and read. It was available. At the end of this, I'll have the resources I've used. I'd love to be able to share all that with you. The GPS app on our phones, to navigate, possess 30,000 times the processing speed of the navigational computer that guided Apollo 11 to the surface of the moon. So just think, you can go to the moon. No. But your devices have that, 30,000 times more. Our phones are changing, altering, and aiding us in the following ways. First is that of distraction. Do you grab your phone first? Wake up in the morning, got to see what's on Facebook, got to see what's on the news, got to see what the weather is, got to see, oh, that's right. Oh, my word, I just used up my devotional time. The more addicted you are to your phone, actually, the more depressed and anxious you are and are less able to concentrate at work and sleep at night. So some people use digital technology to keep work away, to keep people away, and I'm afraid to keep eternity away. If not careful, we become tools of our tools rather than owning them, they own us. And that's what we want to just be very, very careful of, to not allow ourselves to be distracted. Again, when God said to subdue the earth, someone in subduing the earth figured out how to create a cell phone. Well, Alexander Graham Bell started this all. He came up with the telephone. But look where it's come since then. What about people? The stats say that texting and driving, of course, are so dangerous. If you're talking on the phone when you're driving, it says it's 4 times higher risk of accident than if you're not on the phone at all. Texting, the documentation says it's 23 times higher risk of accident that you might have. So with people, sometimes, well, this is the frightening part, sometimes we're willing to text what we won't speak. To the good, I love you. But we would never say that to that person. Why not? Say it. Or, you shamed me, you're an embarrassment to me. You wouldn't say it to their face, but you'd write it. If we're not careful in electronic media, we can do some silly, silly things. We ignore people we see to engage people we don't see. And be mindful of who we are really after. God says, love others. You know, love God, love others. And somehow in that others, that cell phone technology device is really not in there. It can be used to help love others, that's for sure. When we always see our lives through glass, we forget that we are made of flesh and blood. And so I would encourage you to just consider that specific area there. So mindful that we want to know, I am a human. I am to relate to humans. God created us in His image. And if I am in His image, then I want to make sure that I continue to further that image and how I help others, as opposed to just everything is through that glass. Went too soon here. Good. Thought I was about done. I realized I had all these notes left. You guys would have had time to talk. Don't want to do that. I need to give you 5 more times to check your phone before we get out of here. Okay. What about approval? I was just talking last night to a few folks, and it's interesting how much we can enjoy. Kudos on Strava, likes on Facebook, in a group chat, giving the thumbs up. Time, not image, makes heroes. And online attention is really not true approval. Vainglory is futile, God's glory is real. Truth, not reality, is really true approval. We want God's approval, don't we? We want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so when we think about approval, human approval can render faith pointless. You know, we can be so caught up in having others think how great we are. And too often that's unfortunately why some people don't want to confess their sins, even in a counseling room, even in front of others. How are you doing in reading, in talking, in sharing, in becoming? Oh, great. Let's see, I can't think of the name of the organization now. There was a men's group that used to meet. Promise Keepers, thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Both of you. and they had this statement where they would meet, they would have accountability. And one of the first questions was, they'd have their accountability, have you viewed improper material? Have you lied? Have you had an improper attitude? And then have you lied about anything that you just said to me? Giving them a second chance to be transparent and say what they should say. So let's make sure we're concerned not about, did you like what I said? Are you embarrassed by what I did? But is God, I kept you happy and God sad? That's just kind of like the wrong priority. So we want to make sure we're seeking approval from the right source. Literacy. Today, people will say that we need all this electronic data. And yes, I'm sure e-books are great, and I'm sure anything electronic is so much helpful. You can carry so many books in that little iPad that you walk around, or that Kindle. But in literacy, I think it really helps us in literally the concentration by having something in front of us to read. And it's totally fine however you choose to read and engage with the Lord and become close to Him, but make sure it's not just only listening or having something else come through. I think this reading gives us a lot. I will have nothing before my eyes. I had this statement here. God's Word demands highest levels of literacy. Spell check still worked, but it was the wrong word. Literacy. God's Word demands our highest levels of literacy. Oh, no, it is right word. Sorry, I didn't finish my sentence. God's Word demands our highest levels of literary concentration because it demands relational reading. God says, be still and know that I am God. Not be still and just hear that I am. Know. And it takes time to know that God is our God. Not that we're dumb, but at times, sometimes we let distractions get in our way. So let literacy be part of that. Reality. I used these images off of this gentleman down here in the blue shirt said Google. And you go to Google and you search a topic, and then it has a thing called images. And you can click on those images, and hopefully the images bring this to light. But you know, it's even crazy there. I guess I have to talk about transparency. You click on an image, and you think you're clicking on something that's proper. I put the right word. I'm looking for literacy or reality or confidence. And next thing you know, one of the images that even comes up is improper. I'm like, yikes. I mean, that's even going through. It's not hitting the filter because you're, anyway, I don't understand all that stuff. It's just that I know that we have to still be careful, mindful of when we go. But anyway, this picture, if you think about it, if you look at it really closely, I thought it was really cute because I had to borrow this from somebody's explanation too. But that lady right down there in the middle that doesn't have a cell phone, she's the only one in reality. They're waiting for a popular person to walk down, and she's going to just enjoy the moment. And everyone else is trying to take pictures and video, and you know, people's hands are getting in the way, and they're taking the wrong, and she's the only one probably that totally enjoyed the moment. And so reality. So what reality do we have? God is creator of all we have. All of creation refers back to God. The Spirit makes us alive to know God. And the Spirit makes us alive to thank God. And you know, it takes a little bit of a process to go from God is great, and then God created, and then this is my lot, and I am thankful. And so let's just make sure we're thinking through reality in here. So I love this verse in Romans, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Of course, you could think of many, many other verses. You know, we think about whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. And I thought about that. We used to have working with another coach on a team. He used to have that as his team verse, whatever, therefore you eat or drink or play basketball, do all to the glory of God. And I thought, you know, if you can start thinking that way, whether therefore you eat or drink, or look at my tablet, look at my cell phone, look at my mainframe, whatever. So to him be glory forever. And that would say that's our reality. So confidence. What makes us confident? Well, think about this. If we worship idols, we become like idols. If we worship God, we become like God. And we're made to be in his image. So this comment here, if not careful, we are not who we think we are. We are not even who others think we are. We are who we think others think we are. And we want to be very careful about that. We want to make sure we bring glory to God. He knows what's in my innermost heart. He knows what's in my thoughts. He knows what's in my actions. He knows what's in my plans. And I want him to be pleased all the way through that, not just when I'm in front of someone else. And so let's make sure that we are, if we could add one more statement there. This person didn't do that, but one more statement. We are who God knows we are. And that really is what is where we want our confidence to be. When you think about loneliness, part of what adds to loneliness is unnecessary information, unnecessary ego boosts, unnecessary entertainment, avoiding boredom, avoiding isolation, avoiding hardship. And this came to light once I was teaching a class to a group of collegians, and it was on youth issues, youth struggles. And one of them was loneliness. And of course, I think that can probably parallel all the way through college life and all the way through adult life. And in sharing that, this was a few years ago, but enough so that people were allowed in their college to have a cell phone in their pocket or their purse. And I remember walking into that classroom, and you hear the bell ring, and as soon as the bell rings for classes, no one's going to stay in class any longer than they have to, but they walk out, and I'm telling you what, it's like as soon as they walk out the door, everyone's pulling their phones and looking down here. And you've got this sea of people, all you see is the tops of their heads because they're looking at their cell phones. Back in my day, you had to talk to somebody that you're walking down the sidewalk with. I wonder why loneliness is occurring. We're using our devices to be our friend who can't respond to me, who can't share confrontation or encouragement. And that's what's my relationship. So we kind of do this to ourselves if we're not careful. So technology offers us many benefits, but with one major pitfall: isolation. Now, I'm not saying there aren't times that you and a few people are working on a project or trying to accomplish something, and that's all great. But when I'm saying isolation, if that is our friend, that no wonder we're beginning to be lonely. That's where I get my accolades, the kudos or the likes or the thumbs ups. But technology, be mindful that that's not going to lead to our downfall. And then what sins do we hide? Wrong is wrong, even if everyone's doing it. Right is right, even if no one's doing it. Sinful behavior, as one of you said here, is easy on a phone. But God sees all and wants to free us from all. And I love the verse in Psalm 101, verse 3. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we think the only thing that I want to avoid on my phone is pornography. But wow, if you spend 50 minutes to 3 hours on Facebook, well, it wasn't good to look at pornography, but it wasn't good to be mindless for maybe 50 minutes to 3 hours. And again, please, I've been surprised at how much I have valued using Facebook in our church setting. I mean, I can walk through on a Sunday and I can know so many things just by running through that newsfeed. And I think many of you, I can tell, kind of have done the same thing. But to my shame, I can also, oh, wow, look at that. That's an Olympic record that was just set. And then I go into that Olympic record. And then, oh, look, worst baton passes that have ever been made in the Olympics. And then I look at that. And then before long, I'm looking at, I may be teaching it, but I'm also trusting I'm going to be living what do they say? Practice what you preach. And so be very careful. We're not just concerned about one area. And I just read that verse, that will not set anything before my eyes that is worthless. And I think that's neat that it's just not pornographic, that's worthless. And be very careful there. And then priorities, what really matters? There's a fear out there, it's called FOMO, fear of missing out. And so, man, I've got to know exactly when the weather's going to change and when the best deals are at the store and when the flight statuses are arriving and this, and I got to know it all. And we should fear missing out on eternity and eternal rewards. That should be our fear. And of course, we want to, as we've all said, love God, love others. So in thinking about what really matters, first two commandments, love God, love others. I think one of the most interesting statements that God lets us have is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he says, love your neighbor how? Isn't that crazy? As yourself. We love me. No. You love me. No. I love me, and you love you. And God doesn't tell me, although later on he says, esteem others better than yourself, but he says, don't love yourself less, just love others more. And I think we can let our cell phone be number 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, or whatever that device may be that we love. So, Matthew 7:12. I thought this would be an interesting kind of a culmination. Hadn't thought about this in this light as such, but so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. You've been in circumstances, I'm sure, when you have been pouring your heart out to somebody or sharing just an interesting anecdote that they asked for you to tell them. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, excuse me, I got to take this call. So I was second to that phone call. They asked me what I was doing. They were interested until someone else called them. Or you just hear a ping on your phone and you go, oh, I got to see who that is. Got to see what that is. And sometimes it's a sale item that just, you know, eBay just showed up that you now are the highest bidder or whatever it is, you know. It's like, what are we doing? So treat others in that regard. So with that in mind, these are some pictures that are what it would be like without technology today. So think about how, you know, isn't this how we see people? It's like they're sitting on somebody's lap or they're talking to somebody and they're all looking at their devices. Kind of like that picture I shared of that couple, you know, embraced, but they're both looking at their cell phones on the other side of their partner. So let me give you some resources and then some thoughts to conclude. These books, and this, of course, this is in your app, your notes, so don't feel like you have to spend all the time writing that down. But this TechWise family, Andy Crouch, wrote this, a really great resource to help us be tech-wise, not tech-foolish. Not embrace it all, don't think. Not separate from it all, don't have. It's like, how are we going to control that wonderful resource? A lot of this that I just recently shared here is from this book called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. You know what it's about? The 12 ways your phone is changing you. And hopefully that will be of assistance as you just use that as a resource. This one by Tim Challis, interesting. Tim has written several books in a theological, helpful resource in so many ways. And then all of a sudden, this on technology. And again, just very wise. This one I didn't use as much, but it's still an excellent resource, The Hyperlinked Life. And just kind of gives you some specific information there. Competing Spectacles, about all the things that are competing in our lives. I mean, we have lots of things. And which one really wins out. Logged On and Tuned Out. This would be actually probably the most outdated book. I mean, it was only 8 years ago. But it would be the kind of resource that you might want to consider. So I'd like to share, in a sense, what my takeaway was, how God worked in my heart. And please, I am only sharing this with you. And then I'm going to ask you now the question after this, similar to. So I remember us driving. We were on a trip coming home from Detroit, Michigan, where our daughter and their children are living, daughter and husband. And I was working on this and, you know, how you get all the material and everything's down. And, man, I'm ready to teach. And then, you know, that question, so what? And you walk out of church and love God, love others. Amen. Walk out. Why'd that guy get in front of me when he pulled off the parking lot? You know? And so we haven't had knowledge. So as we were sharing, I said, so what are some things that I have done that have really, and she never had told me this before, so thankful she hadn't, and yet at the same time, I'm glad we had this conversation, because I thought, I have really been harming what I'm ready to tell others about. So this is starting to become my thought. It was so easy to walk into the home on the phone. And actually, some of you are the reason for that, because I was supervising some of you, and so I'm finishing up a conversation or something like that. You know, you went too long, I had to get in the truck. No, not at all. But so not on the phone when I first entered the home. That's just been a really cool thing for our family. That's all I'm sharing. And then after that, for the first 30 minutes, not to look at my phone at all, because then you're engaged with really the people that are there. And then a second thing I've really started doing, I encourage you to consider, and maybe you're already way ahead of me on this, is charging and leaving my phone outside the bedroom. So I walk into the room, kind of the phone's down, good night to my phone, and go upstairs. And then finally, now this one's, I'm working on this one still. I don't have all the answers, I have all the desire. Don't allow the phone to interrupt you. And so what I was sharing there is I'm trying to find a balance there, because there's times that you feel like this is an important call. Well, who decides it's important? Well, the person that holds the phone. And so I would encourage you kind of, so don't let the phone interrupt you. So you're talking to someone, let that call come through. You can hit automated responses and it says, sorry, I'm talking to someone, can't take this call now, there's so many things. I mean, they're called smartphones, right? There should be a way to let them respond. I'll be back with you in just a moment. I think this was the most vivid when I was standing in line I won't even name the name of the store, just when you go to try to return something, customer service. Yeah. Ready to return something to customer service, and I'm standing in line, I've waited 1, 2, 3, 4 people. I finally got to the front, and then someone makes a phone call, and the person takes the call, and they're talking to that person for 10 minutes. Now, I'm not gonna, maybe now I should say that place. No. but what started to realize, you know, I let my phone do the same thing to my friends, to my wife. Just a minute. It's name the person. And I'm sure I won't reach him if I don't take it right now. So what? And so anyway, just a few thoughts that I would have there. Not on the phone first 30 minutes. When I enter the home and then keep off it for 30 minutes, leave the phone outside the bedroom, don't allow the phone to interrupt. Now, in our last 6 minutes, what are some goals you had or now have about technology? I think yesterday in our conference with Coffee with a Counselor, I really think the folks that added to the conversation were just as valuable, if not better, than the ones I was sharing. So maybe some of you have something that practically has helped you. Go and maybe speak up a little bit, and I'll just try to repeat that. That'd be good. Yeah. That's awesome. So at dinner time, all the phones go in the center of the table, kind of like a dish, and just leave it right there. Go. Please pass the phone. No. Sir, do you have something? Okay. Good. Yes. I know you can't scratch your head. I'll call on you. Someone else? Yes, sir.
Take off 1 hour a day, 1 night a week.
Wow. Very cool. What time does the night start? No, that's super. Take off 1 hour a day and 1 night a week, and the phone's just at the center of the table. That's good. Wow. Everything else is exhausted. Then you go to the computer.
We've done this,
Nice.
You know, go to the opposite way. It's supposed to be an addendum.
Yes.
Do it as an addendum. Or if you watch TV, you can do that while I go to the computer.
Yeah.
Everything else has been exhausted. Then you go to the computer.
That's cool. Everything else has been exhausted. Then go to your device. Cool. And then maybe like everyone does it. Yes, sir. In the back. Yes. Yes. Your alarm will still wake you up. Leave the phone on silent, but the alarm wakes you up. Yes, ma'am. Nice. Okay. That's very cool. Use a phone. This is good. A lot of different ideas. Yes, sir.
When I first got a smartphone, I had notifications on everything.
Nice. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, so you were the one that waited to answer me. No, that's very good. That's very good. Yeah, yeah. Yes, sir.
I leave the phones in the car when I go out with my wife.
Awesome. Very good. Yeah. And you get back to it, that phone's still there, and you have some calls through. Thank you. Leave the phone and then go out and then come back to it. Yes, ma'am. Wow, cool. Sundays are tech-free. Children, teenage down, tech-free. Yes, sir, in the back. Very cool. Schedule your phone time. Very cool. Then you can all maybe have phone time at the same time, and then you come back together. This has been great. This is good. Well, I know how precious your time is, and you got to get out and check your cell phones because I wouldn't let you do it during the let's just have a closing word of prayer. And Mark Etherington, would you please close our prayer? Ask the Lord to help us to control our phones and be controlled by Him.